This is the Adam Gold Show.
It's really hard, and it's every day. You know what, though? Adam Gold, 24 years in this market, makes it look and sound really easy. Congratulations to you, Adam, for your award, not only for your work right here on 99.9 The Fan, the actual radio show, but the outstanding Kane's Corner podcast. You're the best, Adam. Appreciate you, and congratulations.
What's up with that?
I know, it puts more pressure on me to feel like I cannot mess up this show anymore. We already had one delay of game penalty to start off with, so.
All right, well, thanks to Joe Gilia. It's very nice, very unexpected, very unnecessary. What's going on? What's going on back there? Yeah, the delay of games always. I take all the zeros here. I take all the zeros here. You don't have to worry about any of that. So, but I appreciate the kudos, if you will.
The associate producer is stepping in here to remind Graham that the delay of game is not on the producer. It's
never.
Actually on the host.
Always.
Always on the host.
Yeah.
You got a clock. I got a clock. You see the same clock. You know what time to go to break.
Oh, no, it's not about the breaks.
Just saying.
It was the delay and the
It wasn't about the break. It was the soundbite.
It was the delay and the soundbite. We're going to talk to Wes Durham here. You might need to get that information from Joe. This whole show, actually, this is normal.
I'll call Wes.
This is actually normal for this radio program. But thank you very much for all of the well wishes and kudos. It does feel like that this is it. I'm on the way out, and like, yeah, but you know, while he was here, he did a great job. So that's all good. All right, we're going to talk to Wes Durham, the voice of the ACC, about the ACC here just in a second. And then in about 15 minutes or so, we'll talk to Brendan Whitted, League Pass Lair, about a very active early part of the NBA free agency period. We're about to go into massive free agent signings. We've already had some trades, and we already had bad news for the Charlotte Hornets, who's, you know, top scorer from a year ago, Miles Bridges, was arrested on domestic violence charges yesterday in Los Angeles. We'll talk to Brendan more about that in just a little bit. But the voice of the ACC, Wes Durham, joins us. And I have known Wes for a very long time. And Wes and Mark Packer did a morning show on the ACC network from essentially inception. And it was a wonderful show. And it will air its last episode tomorrow. Because I don't know, maybe they're sick and tired of each other. Not, I'm making that up. Look, all good things come to an end. I already missed the show, which made up about 11 hours a day of ACC network programming.
Thank you. You're very kind.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Yes, we are fine. It's, this is all good. And, you know, as Marcus said, there'll be things announced in the coming weeks that'll make sense to people. And as I've indicated, I'm hoping that my play-by-play role is going to expand. I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, a lot of things in, you know, have to be kind of, you have to have some little patience with mm-hmm. stuff. So this is a time where, you know, 3-4 weeks down the road, I think it'll all be a little bit clearer to folks.
All right, here's what I want. First of all, you have a future in emceeing big events. You did a phenomenal job in keeping it moving at the NSMA awards on Monday. And I knew you were there all weekend, but I only showed up Monday. But you did a great job, running through all that. You're big time. So I appreciate that you will come on this show on short notice. But you are big time, and I appreciate your friendship and all of that.
Let me say this real quick. First of all, it was awesome to watch you get the award, and I'm thrilled for you because that's kind of in all honesty, I've been blessed to be part of the organization for a long time, and I've been on the board way too long, and now I'm board chair for some reason because I think other people ran off and hid. So there's a lot of things about that. But number two, the coolest thing about seeing you get the award the other night was the reaction of Scott Van Pelt, who got up out of his chair and came 40 feet across the room to hug you after you got off the stage.
Well,
and that was about the neatest thing I've seen. And that was a cool moment between guys that had known each other a long time. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to share that with your listeners, because I think that's something that, you know, people forget. We do games, talk shows, whatever. We talk sports for a living. Everybody thinks it's great. But there's still cultivated, lasting friendships in this industry that go beyond the workplace or go beyond that environment. And it was cool to see you guys kind of reconnect that way. That was really cool.
Thank you very much for that. Scott also is incredibly tall. If somebody took a picture of that, that would be like a man hugging his child. but yeah, I didn't say that.
You did.
I have no problem. I mean, I'm like 5'6" with the wind. So whatever, you know, Scott's a foot and a half taller than me. Let me ask you this. We could talk about the 3-5-5 scheduling format for football. I think that's great. It's a long time coming. But I've been wondering what is the impact on conference location? Like, I don't think it matters at all. I think you can have an RV going from school to school, and Jim Phillips, the headquarters could be exact wherever Jim woke up that day is where headquarters is for that day. Is there something symbolic about where HQ is?
I used to believe there was. I'm not sure there is anymore. As transient as our lives have become, either in being in places fairly efficiently, knock on wood as I fly today. the other part of that I think you're speaking to is the ability to communicate with one another, you know, Zooms and all those type things, right?
Yeah.
I do believe there is some symbolism to it. You know, but I think in some respect, this has become a little bit more of a thing than I think any of us thought it would. And, you know, I read Luke Dukak's story yesterday in the News Observer. Mm-hmm. I've read a lot of things here recently about it. And, you know, Adam, I got to be honest with you. I just kind of want it to be settled and move on. You know, I want to kind of get away from it. We've now turned it into something that I hope is nothing, or it was nothing, in my opinion. And now it's, you know, we're kind of sitting around now talking about it. One of the reasons we are is because the athletic season is over and we don't really have anything else to talk about except
right.
the anniversary of NIL tomorrow. So invariably, this has now come back around to the front of the oven, if you will. And I think in some respects, the ACC and all the people involved in Greensboro and Charlotte and wherever else just probably want it to be determined so we can all move on and get ready for next year.
Like, I mean, look, if they go to Charlotte, the state of North Carolina legislature has earmarked $15 million for the league if they stay in the state. And they're attaching things like championship sites to that money, which is fine. I mean, I think the ACC is always going to base the majority of their men's basketball, baseball, football is going to stay in Charlotte unless the team leaves and there's no stadium there. I think they're going to be in Charlotte forever. But I just don't know what the significance is of something like that. How would you use Greensboro for men's basketball?
Well, I think that number one, I think the ACC, and I get going to the new markets. I mean, let's flash back to you and Joe and I having the New York conversation before they ever hatched it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were, you know, let's give credit where credit was due. We were talking about New York and the installation of it long before, you know, that became a reality. And I think that, quite frankly, the ACC has three houses to which it can work on a regular basis, and it needs to base every five-year rotation around those three houses. And those three houses are Greensboro, Charlotte, and Washington, okay? And I think those are all premium markets to which the ACC can really benefit from. And then the other two, well, that's on y'all. That's on who wants the tournament.
Right.
Maybe Atlanta does come back into the picture. Maybe Brooklyn does come back into the picture. maybe, you know, look, I'm going to be honest with you. Remember when I told you and Joe years ago that South Florida was building momentum for the tournament?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that South Florida still has momentum, but every time I've been to Pittsburgh in the last 18 months or 2 years, I guess, pandemic post,
right,
it's I've heard about that Pittsburgh would like a crack at the ACC basketball tournament. And I got to be honest, you know my theory on mm-hmm. this, right? When we went to Tampa, we'll go anywhere once.
I like Tampa.
Yeah, Tampa was fine. I think it was a completely different vibe, but we only went once,
yep.
right?
Yep.
So if we're going to go to Tampa once, 15 years ago, as it were, we can certainly go to Pittsburgh once. Look, I thought Brooklyn was okay. I didn't have an issue with it. It was entirely different. I think the problem is we all have some degree of comfort about the ACC basketball tournament that when it goes to Brooklyn or it goes to Pittsburgh or it goes to Tampa or someplace like that, it's such an offshoot of what you are used to that it becomes a problem, or at least it becomes a problem for some people. Personally, I think Charlotte, Greensboro, Washington are the three places you can build with in every five-year wheel, and then you decide how the other two are fractured. And maybe, you know what, maybe somebody from outside those three is not interested, so guess what? You let those three figure out the other two, and you move through that five-year window.
Here's how I would do it.
I don't think we need to get into a long-term 9 or 10 year contract where we start doling out locations, though. I don't believe that.
No.
Because I think it's a competitive event the league can create revenue from. And I got to be honest with you, I think the product's coming back pretty damn strong next year, too.
Yep.
And that's one thing that I'm excited about, that we're going to go to Greensboro, and it could be a bit of a flashback to the old days, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's going to, I think the league should be much better. Obviously, last year as a bar, wouldn't be too difficult to get over. But I think the league will be really good this upcoming year. This is what I would do, and we'll close on this. Wes Durham, voice of the ACC, from the ACC Network and ESPN. I would first of all, if I could go to Washington for a long time, I would. I think that's the best place. I think mm-hmm. Charlotte is a close second, so I would go 2 years Washington, 2 years Charlotte. And then depending on the year, I would go that last year to Greensboro. We're going to be in Greensboro for the 70th. I would go back to mm-hmm. Greensboro for the 75th tournament and then mm-hmm. use it as kind of, round numbers, the 80th or 90th or whatever. Who knows mm-hmm. if we'll have a 100th ACC tournament. The ACC might have 50 teams for the 100th anniversary of it. Then if I didn't go to Greensboro, I wouldn't mind going to Atlanta or Pittsburgh or Boston or someplace a little different that we haven't gone before. I wouldn't be against that. The interesting thing is that I thought Brooklyn was no better than okay. And if we can't get to Madison Square Garden, I would just as soon not go back to Brooklyn.
And I think you would probably have a lot of people that would join with you in that thinking. And I understand that because there's something about the Garden that makes it different from the, you know, from the Barclays Center, terrific arena, the Barclays Center. Like I said, it was fine. I enjoyed it. It was fine. I didn't think it was the greatest. Didn't think it was the worst. But at the same time, I think that when you get to points in the ACC, you can do things that make your event special that you can't do in other leagues. And I think that always needs to be at the forefront of the league's thinking.
My favorite part about Brooklyn, though, is a great bagel shop, Bergen Bagels, right around the corner from Barclays Center. Also, the beer hall that the ACC rented out for the media was top-notch. Absolutely top-notch.
People outside the media do not realize the ACC has a standard.
Yes.
A credential-issued hostility room at the basketball tournament.
It is the best. The league is great. You're
Jeff
great.
Ask Brando. You got to have your credential.
I got stories about Tim Brando in the ACC tournament that I'm just going to leave right here for now.
You're going to put them in the book. You and Packer, you're writing books.
I should write a book. I could write a book about... Never mind. I can't even start the story. Wes, you're the best. I'll see you down in Charlotte in a couple of weeks.
By the way,
what?
I thought your associate producer did a terrific job today. He deserves a raise.
He does. I'm giving him one. I'm doubling his salary from today.
Excellent. Thanks. All right, take care. I'll see you on the first tee somewhere soon.
You got it, Wes Durham. We'll see him.
All right,
we'll see him in Charlotte at ACC football kickoff. There was some sort of a – it could have been the cat. It could have been a door stopper making a kind of a vibrating noise. We got a lot of things going on. When we come back, we'll talk basketball. Brendan Whitted, free agency begins, if not tomorrow, the next day. But it's already going on. We have opt-ins, we have opt-outs, we have trades, and we'll talk about the bad news with Miles Bridges of the Hornets. Graham Hill, 1970s Formula One race driver, is sitting in for Dennis Cox today. Dennis will actually join us in about 25 minutes as he is getting his fourth tattoo. One was not enough. Two was not enough. Three was not enough. Dennis wanted to get four. He will join us in a little bit. And we'll talk about his fourth tattoo. And we will place bets. I'm good at tennis. I'm not very good at everything else. But I've been good at tennis. I'm 3 out of 4 in tennis wagers. And we'll get to those. NBA free agency is going to start. We've already had some trades. And, of course, the bad news is the domestic violence arrest. Felony domestic violence charge for Miles Bridges, forward for the Charlotte Hornets, averaged more than 20 points a game, was going into restricted free agency. The Hornets, basically, this is before anything happened, Hornets were going to let him test the market if he wanted, and then the Hornets have the right to match any offer. He is a restricted free agent because the Hornets extended him a qualifying offer. He turned it down, which absolutely is his right. He did scrub Charlotte Hornets off of his Twitter bio, which you know how the kids act these days. But that is a we'll have to keep an eye on this situation. The Hornets aren't going to let Miles Bridges walk. They're just not. So, but he doesn't have a whole lot of value right now. Felony domestic violence arrest is not it's not smart business heading out into free agency. That I'm not trying to make light of it. The timing on all of this could not be worse, but in the long run, maybe this will get Miles Bridges kind of back on track personally. Here's the thing that when I read the story today, and I brought this up earlier, and I just don't understand why you even include it in the story. So it's one thing. We have a domestic violence incident. It's a felony. He had an altercation with his girlfriend Tuesday. He flees the scene, turns himself in Wednesday. That is what it is. Well, that part will shake itself out in time. But the news item, the news account, why does it matter that Miles Bridges, whose main job is that of a basketball player, why does it matter that he has a fledgling career as a rapper? Why is that part of the story? Unless we have chosen to stereotype rappers. I just don't get it. Like, that is the ugliest code BS. Is unnecessary. It is in no way pertinent to the story. Like, I know Graham is... How old are you, Graham? Am I allowed to ask? Are you like 22, 23?
23.
You're a fan of new hip hop music, right?
Define new.
I don't know.
Are we talking just like bass in your car, just bumping down the road? Or are we talking about lyrical
stuff
artists?
That has anything stuff that has come out in the last couple of years? You had no idea that Miles Bridges was also a rapper.
There's a lot of NBA stars that are rappers, aren't they?
I have no idea.
But see, that's the thing. I don't know either. I usually have a small circle of people that I stick to, and that would be J. Cole, Drake,
Childish Gambino. All right, so that's new music.
Childish Gambino, but he's no longer making music.
What is he doing now?
Acting.
Oh, really? Look at him. He's an actor. All right, let's get to Brendan Whitted. Maybe Brendan can get to the bottom of this. League Pass Layer, my friend, at H.U. Cosell on Twitter. I'll just start where we were. Why is it pertinent to the story that Miles Bridges has a rap career that I don't know if it's gotten off the ground or not, but it was mentioned in the story? Why do you think it was mentioned in the story?
For the reasons that you would think it would be mentioned. Rappers have for a long time had a reputation of being more violent of a musical medium. And so when he's involved in a domestic violence case, a felony domestic violence case, it's going to get brought up, whether it's fair or not. I think I've given up on fair for quite some time when it comes to that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But it is absolutely going to be a part of the story.
Yeah, to me, it's code. It was completely unnecessary. It was as much to say, hey, another rapper. Anyway, right. We'll leave it there. Miles Bridges going into free agency, and the Hornets, who would probably match any offer for Miles Bridges, where does this leave the two parties here? Where does this leave the Hornets and Bridges?
Well, first things first, you know, the most important thing is about the alleged victim. And,
right.
Was reportedly that she had to be taken to the hospital.
Yep.
For her injuries. And so that the legal process obviously will have to play out, and they'll figure that out. I can't remember offhand the last one of these sorts of cases that the NBA dealt with. I know the NFL doesn't really need a guilty plea or finding of guilt to suspend a player. And so, you know, this is obviously, and just strictly from a basketball point of view, a really could not have come at least inopportune time for really both parties. And so, look, I think they're going to have to kind of get some of the details as they come trickling out. I know that teams very routinely have their own investigators, they'll have to figure out what they're comfortable with bringing back, what they can find out, what they know, what they're comfortable with bringing back into the organization.
No question about that. At H.U. Cosell on Twitter, Brendan Whitted, League Pass Lair. And currently working at his alma mater, Howard University, and that is very cool. Free agency is about to begin, but let me just get your...
Right. Yeah, yeah, sure.
That's right.
It's about to begin, right.
Well, yes, true. It has begun, but nothing can be official yet.
Right, with a little light tampering between teams.
But let me talk about the two, popular opt-in, opt-out. Kyrie Irving tried the power play. He tried to get the Nets to renegotiate, you know, give him a max deal. The Nets were like, nah, man, we've already seen this play. We don't like how this play has ended the last couple of years. So, no, we're not doing it. But feel free, test the market, and if you can find a sign and trade, we will try to accommodate. And Kyrie took about 2 hours and then went, you know what, let me just opt in. So what does that tell you about Kyrie and the Nets?
I think that maybe from both perspectives, they might both be on a kind of show and prove situations. Because I don't know how much Kyrie is going to want to continue on with this partnership. Because I would feel that he probably would refer to it as a partnership and not him working for anybody.
Right.
And the Nets, they're trying to figure out what was going on. Because there was it gotten to the point where, you know, the idea of Kevin Durant being available via trade has started to get floated out there because, hey, if Kyrie's not here, KD's going to – I forgot the verbiage, but essentially it was going to explore, you know, kind of explore his options type thing. And that sort of a player, that caliber of player who's done as much as he has, isn't the type that is routinely available, much less two of them. I think that they're both going to kind of come into this thing with another year and then see what happens. Because it obviously didn't end the way that they wanted it to end last year. They put this team together, Harden included, to win a title this year. That obviously didn't happen, and it kind of all just fell apart. And I think the Nets are going to reevaluate things and say, hey, is this something that we've, you know, kind of gone all in on and it's no longer going to happen? And then suddenly we have a really tradable asset in Durant, or are we just going to kind of grin and bear it and kind of get through it? It is interesting that, you know, people are so down on Kyrie as to think, you know, the reason he wasn't playing this year was kind of a very particular reason, right? Like this isn't something that is likely going to show itself again. And it was a little ugly. You know, at first it was, he was only going to play away games, and then no, he's not going to play at all. And then when the state legislator gets together and changes New York law, then he can play again. And so when he was on the court, he was fantastic. Obviously the problem is whether or not you're going to get him fully invested in the court. I think it's a safe bet to have him on team because you still are a championship contender if you have KD and Kyrie, period. Like, that's just what it is. As long as both guys are healthy, you have a shot to win a title. And arguably could have been said that they were close before, you know, injuries and stuff derailed them the year before last. So I think that if you're the Nets, if you got these two guys underneath your roof, it just makes more sense to hold on and see if you can win with this spectacular talent. What was interesting to me is maybe there were some questions about leadership as it pertains to Kyrie and KD, and KD pretty much shrugged it off and was like, well, leadership comes from coach. And, you know, if you want to make an easy change on NBA team, we've seen it all the time, you change the coach. And so, like, that was a surprise to me that he was kind of so upfront about his questions. Maybe it wasn't a question about Steve Nash in particular. Maybe it was just their leadership, generally speaking. But I was surprised to hear that, and surprised that there wasn't maybe a little bit more pushback. You've seen the executives and the players a little bit more at odds on this team than we're normally accustomed to seeing.
My read on Kyrie is that nobody wants Kyrie because availability has been a problem for him. Not just what happened in this obviously very strange year with COVID. But health-wise, and Kyrie is sort of a disruptor. And I don't, is there another star player that would put up with Kyrie's disruptive personality other than Kevin Durant, who is only about basketball?
He's in L.A. right now and won a title with him before. LeBron absolutely would do this. Like I am 100% sure as you can be about a person that you don't know personally, that he would feel like he can maybe corral Kyrie a little bit or just kind of get on the same page with him. Because keep in mind, Kyrie's been pretty open about some regrets that he's had about how he ended things with LeBron, and that's not something that you hear a lot from Kyrie in terms of regret or anything like that. He was a little bit more apologetic. So, hey, if I handle things differently, we would have won more, and maybe that was some maturation stuff that I have to go through, because we're, you know, as we all are, maturation can happen at any point in our, in our life. It's not a straight line, and his just happens to be on the national stage.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Kyrie saying that when it wasn't going well in Boston, that, man, if I just stuck it out, maybe we would have won another title. Kyrie wanted to be his own guy, and that's fair. I got no problem with that. And the problem is that playing with LeBron, you're always going to be number two. Even if you're at this stage, Kyrie's probably the more dynamic player. Let me throw one more thing at you before we let Brendan Whitted go at HU Cosell on Twitter. James Harden opted out, $47.3 million. Maybe the Sixers will give him a contract like that. I don't see why they would, based on the way he played at the end of last year. But is this basically to play for less money and bring in more players?
Definitely over the course of the next year or two, that this will, it looks like it'll be less annual money. Keep in mind, if the opt out, but then the kind of extension renegotiation, for lack of a better term, that would get him, you know, that was still, you're still putting about 3 or 4 years up. And so maybe that gives him a little bit more stability for a guy that has his own injury stuff. And so I'm interested to see how that works. I was surprised that he was willing to take less money. It'll definitely be less money next year. And I'm surprised that he was willing to, you know, hey, I'll do something a little bit more cap friendly to bring guys on. And everyone has said kind of throughout that organization that he's been locked in already all season. His off-season conditioning and stuff has started earlier than usual, something that has been a bit of a nuisance for guys that played alongside him. Like, hey, right. Maybe you're not in the best shape to start this season. If you got, I mean, if he's healthy, and I'm still not sure how healthy he was after that soft tissue hamstring injury, if he's healthy and locked in like this from jump, if you know that you have a commitment from him emotionally, and he's like dialed in like that mentally, and that's still a hell of a combo with Heath and Embiid. Like if you can get even a 90% of what we have seen, the best that we've seen of Harden, you're still a contender for the title.
So what you're saying is, Brendan, that there was an off-season conditioning program for James Harden in the past. This one will start earlier than that one did, and we're assuming that that one actually started, so this might be a low bar, but that's fair. Brendan Whitted, League Pass Lair, at HU Cosell on Twitter. Thank you very much, man. I'll talk to you soon.
No problem at all. Glad to be here.
You got it. Brendan Whitted here. All right, we have a brief halftime to get to, and then Dennis will come on and talk about tattoos. And then we'll place bets. Is that fair? All right, let's do whatever we do here. Halftime. Dennis didn't tell you about Halftime Entertainment.
That's my fault. I thought we were going to a break.
And now your Halftime Entertainment.
Want to tell me anything fun?
Yeah, so you gave me some homework during yesterday's show when I was still doing my associate producing role. Referring to the start of yesterday's show when Dennis used the That's My Opinion soundbite from that Real Housewives reunion show.
That's right.
You asked me to research Real Housewives who would marry two pro athletes, which is what I did. Here's the one that I found the most interesting. Robin and Juan Dixon.
Oh, wow.
This comes from AccordingToFame10.com. This article was initially written back in November 2017. So the Real Housewives Pomatic. Robin Dixon.
Potomac,
thank you.
There you go.
Robin Dixon has a rather unique relationship with her ex-husband, Juan Dixon, who was a retired NBA player.
Yep.
Robin and Juan are high school sweethearts who got married before he became a professional basketball player. Even though the couples are now divorced, they continue to live under the same roof and co-parent their two children as if they were still married. The state of their relationship has been a constant topic on the show, with many people question whether or not they will move forward reconciling or finally go their separate ways. All I want to say is this. The fact that they were able to live under the same roof and co-parent their two children like they were still married, bravo.
That is impressive. I have no idea if that is still the case. He is not spouse. He was married to Robin Dixon until 2012. It says partner is there's still an open end there. So maybe he is, maybe they're still cohabitating. I don't know. This is not anything other than a little piece of trivia for you. As an adult,
okay,
and I have been an adult longer than you have been alive.
Sure.
As an adult, I have asked for one person's autograph. Just one, and it is Juan Dixon.
Really?
Yes. Juan Dixon was a basketball player at Maryland. He is now the head coach at Coppin State in the MEAC. It's an HBCU in Baltimore. Dixon is from Baltimore and overcame a lot. His parents were addicts. They had AIDS. I mean, he had a very, very difficult upbringing and was one of the best, most productive players in University of Maryland basketball history. They won a national championship. The last time I cared about Maryland basketball was 2002. But I have, it's still in the house, I have the official NCAA game book from that championship game against Indiana, and I had Juan Dixon autograph it when he came to Durham a couple of years later to play in an NBA All-Star game.
Okay.
He played with Duke players at Cameron Indoor Stadium because Coach K had so much respect for Dixon the player that he wanted Dixon to play with his team. It's a very cool thing, but so that's the only autograph I have asked for as an adult.
Well, there you go. I knew something told me last night to throw that in for Halftime Entertainment, so glad I did.
Me too.
All right, up next, we have former five-star Florida State quarterback and former Arena Football Team quarterback, the Jacksonville Sharks. Malik Henry has signed a contract with, wait for it, the Carolina Cobras, who are the North Carolina Indoor Arena Football Team in Greensboro.
The Carolina Cobras are still around?
Yeah, apparently so.
Okay.
The only reason I put this in here is because, and this is per Matt Coe on Twitter, by the way, Henry was a star quarterback on the Netflix hit original show Last Chance U when they were in Independent Community College for part 3 and 4 of the series.
Look at that. There's, don't give up the dream. Don't give up the dream. You never know. Kurt Warner was an Iowa Barnstormer. No kidding. Arena Football League. He also bagged groceries just to kind of make ends meet. Now he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I don't know if you've ever watched Last Chance U, but no, Malik Henry, he was a heck of a football player.
Well, I'm sure he was.
I mean, honestly, he was about my size. Maybe he had a little extra 15 to 20 pounds on me.
6'3", 225.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And he could have, I'm not in the 200s, but he could throw the ball deep downfield. Unfortunately, it just didn't work out at Florida State. It also did not work out at Independent Community College for whatever reasons. I think it was just some off-the-field issues with the coaching staff. But I was really cheering for him when I watched that series. A lot of people weren't, but I really liked him when I was watching that show.
Right to the heartstrings it goes, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly right.
Excellent.
Exactly right. And then finally, Golden Ovius. And since Ovius is back here, I know you guys are a fan of music, so I wanted to tie this one in here. On this day, June 20th in 1984, Bruce Springsteen's Dancing in the Dark reaches its chart peak of number 2 on the Hot 100. The song spends 4 weeks at runner-up, held off the last three by Prince's When Doves Cry.
Nice.
Springsteen never does reach number 1 except as a writer for Manfred Mann's Earth Band song, Blinded by the Light. Which reached number 1 in 1977. But the next 6 singles from his Born in the USA album all hit the top 10, which I think is fitting since it is for the July weekend coming up.
It is, yes, that's such an homage to America. I will ask you, and Joe can answer this question too. In the official video of Dancing in the Dark,
okay,
what future actress, I mean hit actress, got her big break?
Obvious, this is all you. I do not know. I don't even know if I've even seen the music
video.
You
probably have not. Joe has, because Joe's a fan of music.
Remember when I was the younger one?
Exactly.
Remember that?
Man, I have been an adult longer than Graham Hill has been alive, so.
Your associate producer knows the answer. It would be Courtney Cox.
There you go.
Go on to Friends fame.
Short-haired Courtney Cox got up on stage and danced with the boss.
Once again, the go-to answer for any actress question is Jennifer Cox or Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston, yes, or Courtney Cox. It probably
I'm kidding
works.
About the Courtney Cox. I just made
it's
that
fine.
Up.
It's fine. Wait.
Marianne.
Phoebe.
Yep.
All right. I want you to bump back with Smelly Cat. Never mind. No, don't. Don't. Dennis Cox is going to join us. He left us for the day to get more ink put on his body, and we're going to place bets next. Graham Hill on the ones and twos. This is Manfred Mann, song written by Bruce Springsteen. There's a bunch of songs that Springsteen wrote that other people did, but this is cool. Normally, we get to this time of the day, Dennis Cox and I make bets, but Dennis is not here today because Dennis is getting a fourth tattoo. Do we have Dennis all hooked up? Let's get to Dennis Cox. Where are we in the process, sir? Ooh, I hear the whirring.
Yes, you do hear the whirring right now. Yes, we are outline and black's already done. Shading's going in right now. Coloring's going to be coming up here soon.
What are we getting?
So Mr. Miracle, comic book character, right here on the inside of my right forearm. My man Greg DeHood at Bad Fun Company up in Youngsville's taking care of me right now.
Oh, you're up in Youngsville?
Yeah, up in Youngsville.
All right, cool. That's sort of my neck of the woods.
Yeah, Greg's done all four tattoos for me.
Oh, so, very, very nice.
Man, I trust.
Well, good. I'm glad. Does it hurt?
No, actually doing okay.
Are you numb? Did you take anything before?
No, I didn't. You just get used to it after a couple minutes.
Is that okay? I'll take your word for it. Alrighty. Yep. Are you? By the way, you. I think you did. You won one, at least one. You might have won two.
I won my
yesterday.
Soccer pick. I'm not sure about my Wimbledon bet because
I'll tell you that
match got pushed back until this morning sometime.
No, it's pending, so that match is being played right now, so we don't know the end. You lost the baseball bet, but you did win your Rio Grande Valley El Paso locomotive draw.
Yes, of course, on top of that.
Very nice. All right, should we place bets?
Let's do it.
All right.
Place your bets. Here we are. I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Yeah. Okay, you can owe me. I owe you one.
All right, let's do it, Dennis Cox. You're up.
All right, first bet I'm taking. I have to go lacrosse. Coming up tomorrow, Archers and Atlas on the money line. Parlay those two together, +269.
I have no idea what you just said.
Okay.
All right. No idea what you just said. All right. I had this wager in yesterday, but I'm just going to give it out there today. Our friend Chesson Hadley on the PGA Tour.
Okay.
To top 20 at the John Deere at +350. To top 20 at the John Deere, +350. Chesson Hadley.
All right.
Friend of the program. Trying to do more golf futures. I already have a LIV future to see a playoff at LIV. So,
I do have a future Webb Simpson top five.
You do,
John Deere. So hopefully that'll stand up. Webb Simpson of Raleigh, North Carolina.
Charlotte. Sorry.
No. Well,
Chesson Hadley is actually from Raleigh.
Well, if Webb Simpson finishes outside of the top five, he can be from Charlotte. That's
all
totally
right.
Fine.
You're up.
Going back to the Premier Lacrosse League this Saturday, give me the Whip Snakes and the Cannons. Parlay those two together, winning +217.
You and the Premier Lacrosse League. Nobody cares. Nobody's
like
paying attention
cares
to
about your Icelandic soccer matches that you picked.
All right, whatever. You'll have to tell me if you won.
I will.
All right. For this wager, we are going to international test cricket.
Yeah, okay, you're going to criticize me for lacrosse. We're going cricket. Okay,
England and India in a best of five. India might be without Rohit Sharma. This is a big deal.
Big
one
loss.
Of the all-time opening right-handed batsmen in the world. One of the greats, 35-year-old future Hall of Famer. But he has
first
COVID.
Ballot.
He has COVID, definitely. If there's something before first ballot, he would get in. But he has COVID. It's going to take two more tests today. Maybe he will play in tomorrow's match, but give me India +165 either way. India at +165. They lead the series 2-1.
All right. Well, I'll take your word on it. But, yeah, big loss there for India on the pitch.
I'm telling you, it'd be a huge loss. Yeah, he's an occasional bowler, but for the most part, he is just a massive batsman.
All right, well, I'm going UFC 276 this Saturday. Title fight, Alexander Volkanovski, Max Holloway, their third fight. Volkanovski won their last fight by split decision. I think he wins this one by either knockout, TKO, or DQ, +350.
All right, my favorite part of this is when we do two lacrosse wagers and a UFC wager, and people are in their cars going, I am not going to remember any of this. It's a good thing that you're an honest person, Dennis Cox.
I try to be.
Because I have no interest in looking up if any of these worked, or any of it. But you have been very honest so far. All right, my final wager will go to Wimbledon. I'm 3-1 in Wimbledon wagers. We will take.
You've crushed Wimbledon so far.
So far. We will take old man Richard Gasquet of France at plus 210 over Bodie van de Schlup. I'm completely butchered that name. I've never heard of this guy, but I have heard of Richard Gasquet, who's actually sneaky really good on the grass courts of the All England Club. So plus 210, we'll take Richard Gasquet.
Sure.
I hope your tattoo goes well. And
hey,
shouts
quite well. What can I say?
Shouts to your tattoo artist.
Yes, Greg DeHoot, he's the man.
Greg, if I ever get a tattoo, I will go over to Youngsville and get it. I promise.
I'll let him know that.
All right, man. Take care.
Appreciate it.
That's Dennis Cox. We have massive breaking news in the college sports world. When we come back, it is earth-shattering, and I will tell you that in retrospect, it makes the ACC look like they were asleep at the wheel.
This is the Adam Gold Show.